consequences. You can study Mishlei, and you don't know God. You just know that there is a God, so you have to watch the consequences both in this world and next world. There's a certain study, so you see the consequences. But however, the fear of God that we call awe, that comes through knowledge. And at this point, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that we find in the subject of knowledge of God five different levels. Okay, and so we'll see the five levels that it gets to awe of God. We'd like to explain the difference in your framework in which you're operating on the lower level of Yira and the higher level of Yira. What's the difference in your framework? The first framework, since we're talking in the framework and how you relate to the world, we're not talking about ideas like you learn mathematics or physics. When we're talking about a framework, so we must understand the difference in the framework in which you look at the world by insofar as the lower level of Yira and the higher level of Yira. What are the difference in the two frameworks? The difference in the framework is that when you do it for the lower level of Yira, so then you do it for what I could get out of it. I'm still in my selfish state. I relate to God in my selfish state of what do I get out of it, okay? There are two selfish states. There's selfish state where people are selfish and they harm themselves because they don't think about it and they just do whatever they feel like and they get harmed. Then there's a rational type of selfishness, and I look at the world and say, what could I get out of it, the best possible that I could get out of it? That is the lower level of Yiras Hashem. When you look at the world and say, what is the most intelligent way that I can get the most out of the world so that my mind sees clearly that I'm getting the best benefit? The second is not what I can get out of it, but the second is an attachment to God itself. When I recognize God's wisdom and God's greatness and what he has done and all my knowledge of God, so then I'm just drawn to that. There's something in me that draws me to God, and I'm just drawn to God even if I don't see a benefit in it. Even for no benefit, my framework is just to relate to God. The first way is more in line with the nature of a human being, you know, the way every human being has that selfishness. It's a natural thing. The only thing is that what he attaches to the selfishness is the best, like he thinks through what is best for me. And he must come to the fact that relating to God correctly is the best life. In other words, this person uses God, the idea of God, he uses as a means to have the best possible life in this world. The second guy directly relates to God in that he's drawn essentially to the ideas that he has of God. He's drawn to that, he's drawn to the object, namely God. He's drawn to that idea of God. He's drawn to it. And it doesn't make any difference what he gets out of it, but he's just drawn to that idea. Okay, now we get to the different levels of knowledge. First level of knowledge that you must have is that God exists. That's the first thing. So the first thing is you must have a knowledge of a God. That's the first level. Knowledge, you must know that there is a creator. You must have knowledge of God. Second one is that you must serve God. And you must keep the mitzvot. And you should be afraid because you know that there is a God. You will be afraid to transgress his words. And this is called knowledge of God. because, why is this called knowledge of God? So he answers that because with this knowledge, it's revealed in the actions of man that he knows the God. And he accepts upon himself the yoke of his kingdom. Okay? And he quotes a pasuk that he says, he who judges the poor person, that is good. Is that not knowledge of me, says God? So you see that when you do the just action, when you do the correct action, that is, and it says in the pasuk, that is this not knowledge of me? How is that knowledge of God? It means that once I know that there is a God, then I go out and serve God and does what God wants me to do. That is a level of knowledge of God, where the first step is I know God. Then it becomes so real to me that I must do what he says. I must obey God. You don't obey God, so then there's a certain lack in your acceptance of who God is. In other words, the difference between the first level and the second level is the first level is you can have knowledge of God. You know, there's a God in the world, okay? But you do not relate to him that I must obey him. That's like an idea. But then there's a certain thing that it becomes real, that I must follow what he says. The next step of knowledge that there is a God, then you must obey God. Obey God is I follow his commandments. I keep Torah and I'll just follow whatever God says in Torah. That's the second level. You have to be careful here. There are people that keep the mitzvot. They're raised in a home where they keep mitzvot and they know the commandments and they keep it because that's the way they were raised. We're talking about where you keep the mitzvot because you know God. You have knowledge of God. It's not based on a feeling. It's not based on the way I was raised. It's based on your knowledge of the Creator. So in the first step, he knows Torah and he knows mitzvot. Okay? He knows what God wants. But however, he might keep it because he was raised that way. Okay? But however, here the second stage is based on the knowledge that he knows it's so real to him that there is a Creator, that he gave the Torah, that I must carry out what he said. I must. Based on the idea. It's a different motive than a person raised in a religious home. Okay? Okay? It's a different motive. Or it's even a different motive, slightly different, than the person that has the first level of Yira. First level of Yira, I can see how it benefits me to live this life. But the thing is here it's totally based on my knowledge. It's not the highest level yet, we'll soon see that, but however, it is the second step must be based on the first. Not that I just keep mitzvot because I was raised or for some other reason. I want to say like this, that the first step only includes that there is a God. Okay? Now the second step, you must say three things. One is that God gave the Torah. That's not included in the first step. Okay, whether you know it or you don't know it, but the second step is that God gave the Torah, and you know the content of the Torah. And the third idea is that since you know that God created, that there is a God, since you know that there is a God, then it behooves you that you should live according to his revealed will. The third level is knowledge of the way God relates to the physical world. Okay? In other words, creation. His wonders, his miracles, prophecy. Okay? All these are ways that God relates to us. And all these things, you have to think about how God relates to us. And also God's justice. Okay? In other words, there's justice and then there's kindness, that God doesn't go according to the strict letter of the law. Okay, he has the mercy. So the thing is that you have to understand that, how God relates to us. These are all components of how God relates to us. Okay? That is the first, that is the third step. The first step is you must know God, and then you must know that God gave the Torah, and therefore you must keep his halacha, what God wants from you, your actions. And then the next thing after that is to know how God relates to us according to all these subjects that we just mentioned. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that the this third level of knowing how God relates to us is also called Metzios. And he quotes the pasuk Metzios about that they use the term Miyitein Yadati Ve'emto Ehu, and I will find him. Okay? Now, he changes the word, which means that there must be a step in the understanding between Darkei Hashem and for using the word Emta Ehu. We'd like to know what the difference is from before he used this term to after he used this term. Okay, the first half, where he just talks about Darkei Hashem, is knowing the facts of how God relates to us, the nature of prophecy, the nature of miracles, all the nature of all these different things, the facts, how he does it. However, to understand the concept behind it, of how God relates to us, the concept, you must understand who God is, which is impossible for us to know. So therefore, there are certain problems that we have because, in other words, what happens, see, the thing is that when you study the facts, so the facts, many times you find contradictions in the facts, and then you can just give a theory or a concept to explain how the facts work so that it's not contradictory. By God, we have a problem because we don't know who God is, and everything how God relates to us is dependent on who God is, right? So therefore, he says that you have to understand, we can only understand of these actions one thing, that God is way above us, and who God is and what he is, we cannot know. But we do know that when he relates to us, he relates to us in our realm. In our realm and in our framework. Even though God's framework is way beyond, you see, and therefore we can't understand truly how he's operating, but what we can see is every action that he relates to us, how it works in our framework, that we do have. So let's say, for instance, the exact nature of justice should be a terrible punishment. But the human being cannot operate with that terrible punishment. So therefore, God has mercy, which means that God is not dealing with his view from his point, from the godly point, but and from his where he is, but God relates to us from where we are, and from our abilities of understanding and our abilities of endurance, you see? So therefore, God relates to us on our level. So he says, the Emta'e, we find him, in other words, what he means is that we could approach God, but we could never, ever know who he is, and we can only know how it relates to us. Dagi Koach, we cannot find his great, his overbearing or great or excellent energy. In other words, that we can never find. That is who God is. Right? That prevents that greatness, it's way beyond the human being, and that prevents the human being from understanding him. And when he judges us precisely, he does not go according to us, but he goes according to tzedakah and lefnim meshurat hadin beyond. He doesn't go according to with exact what justice demands, but he goes according more to tzedakah, more to charity and kindness and mercy, right? And then he says, and every decree that comes to man is based on the actions of man, meaning that it within man's framework, that it must be within man's framework and not within God's framework. God's framework, we cannot understand. It would be way beyond our understanding, maybe beyond his actions. But however, God relates to us within our framework and within our abilities to endure. Right. The first of three levels that we have here is knowledge of God. First is that God exists. The second is halachic system. We must understand his halachic system and then live according to that halachic system. And then the third is to understand how God relates to us. All this is knowledge. Okay? The fourth stage is how the knowledge affects us. How the knowledge affects us. So he says the fourth level is where the nefesh, the very essence, the soul of the person, accepts and remembers this trust in God and his oneness and his exaltedness according to what he could grasp, to what the soul could grasp, and he takes it, meaning the Rabbeinu Yonah, remember, he translates Locha as taking and making it part of his nature, and it becomes a part of it, and this, he calls it a remembrance, we'll see why, and he remembers it, and this knowledge at all times. In other words, let's say, for instance, I learned something. Well, I have to, after I finish learning it, I don't think about it. So I have to bring it back to the conscious mind. But if it becomes a second nature that it's totally involved, that becomes my whole framework which I operate, this is the basic foundation, it becomes second nature. So then it is a remembering. It is remembered. Why? Because it's always, I don't have to bring it, I don't have to remember, it is always there. You see, Achen Natel, until I'm influenced, mayhem of it, through my fear of his ikar, of his essence, and the ashamed of his very, also his very foundation or his essence, I will never turn to it. I'll never turn away from it, right? And that will bring me to a closeness and attachment to God. That is the fourth stage, okay? The fifth stage will be the same as the fourth stage. That's why he doesn't number the fifth stage. He says, Amnon. Why doesn't he number it as the fifth? Because it's not qualitatively different than the fourth. It's a quantitative difference than the fourth. That'll be the fifth stage. And that will do tomorrow. Okay, what we'd like to clarify is what we have till now. What we have is that the first thing is you must have knowledge of God. Once you have knowledge of God, so then you must obey God. Well, now it's a lack in your knowledge of God. Just knowing God and not obeying Him is not knowing God. So there's the knowledge of God when I obey Him. Then after I obey Him, which is the level of acceptance of God, then I go in and investigate God. That's like Nasa v'Nishma. Nasa is I'll do the mitzvot, then Nishma I'll investigate the ideas behind the mitzvot, right? The Hashkafa. But however, before I could do the mitzvot, I must know there is a God. You see? So therefore, that's the order here. First you must know there's a God, then I obey God, then I investigate how God relates to me, the knowledge of God. In this particular case, the Yira, I have to understand how God relates to the physical world. Okay? Now, starting with the fourth, that's a different, it's not knowledge anymore, but it's how the knowledge affects me. So the fourth stage is that the knowledge influences me and affects my emotions, that I have fear of God, I'm ashamed. You understand? It awakens, in other words, before this, the emotions are attached to the psychological part of the human, and after this, the emotions become attached to the ideas, and it affects me in that based on my ideas of God, I'm afraid of doing sin, and I'm afraid of, and I'm embarrassed in front of God. In other words, once I see my knowledge of God, so it affects me emotionally. Okay? Okay. Now we're starting with the fifth level. It says, Amnam lefi godel hayadiya b'darkei Hashem yitzbarach. In other words, according to the greatness of your knowledge, or the level of your knowledge of the ways of God. So, and in other words, his ways of God and his exaltedness, a man is able to get to a higher level than the one that we just mentioned, the fourth level. Okay? And it is called Zichron Yediyas Hashem. Okay? Zichron means remembering. Okay? Because it's stated, in all your ways you should know him. In other words, it should be part of your ways. Okay, the way you do things. And our sages say, when you pray to God, know before whom you are praying. Okay, in other words, you should know God. And more so, they say, you should know who's above you. An eye sees and ears hear, which means you're affected by the knowledge that that you have of God. So you're affected by that knowledge. Okay. This is different than a person that's psychologically attached to God, and he has these psychological feelings based on this psychological man. This is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about as a result of the knowledge of God. I mean, it's emphasized that this, the Rabbanian says very clearly that this level comes as a result of knowledge. Now, don't confuse it with certain religious feelings that people have before they have this knowledge. And that's what he calls remembrance. Okay? And this level is called, in this pasuk, it's called Das Elokim. Well, like this pasuk says, then you'll understand Yiras Hashem, and the knowledge of God you will find. Right? So this pasuk is talking about this level. Therefore, it's mentioned after Yira, because this is called Das, and this is called knowledge and remembrance, and this is the perfection of Yira. In other words, if you live up to Shlomo, what King Solomon is saying about knowledge, and you develop your knowledge, and you perfect your emotions, that your emotions don't interfere with your knowledge, and you're totally guided by knowledge, and then you have these three levels of knowledge of God, and then you'll have the fourth level in other words, where it will affect your soul, and then the fifth level is the perfection, which is called, that is really called Das. That's really called knowledge of God. Before this, we used the term knowledge in a not complete knowledge. I mean, it's in the mind. You have it in the mind, but what we mean by knowledge, where it is somehow a part of your soul, and it's part of you, we'll have to see further on in Rabbeinu Yonah. But the thing is, that is the Das Elokim is the ultimate level of fear, of awe. And we again find by this level that it says that we'll know and we'll chase after the knowledge of God. Like the morning is the knowledge of a clear knowledge. The morning represents a clear knowledge, and that it is correct. That you find, in other words, clearly, clarity is when there is no clouds in the sky. So then when you see the sky without clouds, that is called shachar. That is called morning. Okay? Without clouds, it's total clarity. Like it says in Shmuel, in the morning there is no there's no clouds, and it comes down like rain to us, and it clarifies, it makes clear the knowledge to fear God, to attach to Him. And he explains now what the rain means. Just like the rain perfects the earth, that it becomes well watered, and from that well watered, it becomes it sprouts and grows, right? That's what it says. Kikasha yorad geshem vashelag, like the snow and the rain, when the rain and the snow come down. Right there, it's talking about Yiras Hashem, because it is possible for a man to know God and not to accept it as a part of his soul, which means the remembrance of this, by the remembrance of the idea, it does not influence him. The fear, right? This fear does not influence him. Like this level that we're talking about. In other words, the rain. In other words, just like when rain comes down, the rain affects the earth, right? Without the rain, the earth will not grow. So the knowledge of God affects us. It is possible to have knowledge, all the first three levels of knowledge, and yet for some reason it doesn't affect us. Okay? So therefore, that is not like rain. That is just you have knowledge. That's not the real knowledge. The real knowledge is where it influences you, and they use the word remembrance in the sense that in other words, it becomes a second nature. It becomes part of it. Okay? But this still sounds a lot like the fourth level. Well, we don't see a difference yet between the fourth level and the fifth level. Okay? And then it also says that you should only, a person should only praise his mind, okay? He should be praised the mind only that he knows me. And that he knows me doesn't mean just a knowledge, but it means that it's his nature to know God. Like it's just a second thing, second nature that he knows God. And in truth, this is called knowing God more than the first level. Okay? By the first level doesn't mean the first level, means the prior level. All the four levels before. And that it influences our soul of fear from the knowledge and the remembrance of God, the very source, and our humility. Brings about the shiftless nafsha, the humility, and his and the exaltedness of God, and he's close by towards our very eyes at all times. At all times doesn't mean that I'm always thinking about him, but it is like a knowledge that is constantly there, that's impossible not to have. It's a knowledge that's impossible not to have, because it's part of my soul. I can never lose it. Like it says, Shavisi Hashem, when Ezri Thomas should put God in front of you constantly. What do you mean? You got to constantly put it in your mind? Doesn't mean constantly put it in your mind. By constant means, it is your nature to be that way. Okay? So this knowledge is a knowledge that's part of your nature. It affects you. And this fear will be in front of you constantly that you will never sin. Okay? So it brings about effects also. Okay, now he says that if you go in front of the king one time, and then afterwards you don't know if you pierced. You saw his face, you saw his form, but you when you walk out, it's not in front of you, so the first time you don't remember. But however, if he continues to see, he will remember what his form and what he looks like.
Why?
Because that, and that he is the king, because he already saw him, so he'll remember what he looks like. And another person that appears before the king will remember his form afterwards, and it'll be in his thought, and he'll accept it with the strength of the mind. Okay? So there's three steps in knowing God. The first time is that I never saw the king, and I study, and I see the king. That's the first thing. The second thing, I might come back a few times, so I'll remember the king when I see him. I'll remember that that's the king. The first time, I didn't know that was the king. But I see the king, right, for the first time. So now I know that's the king. But then I won't remember him because I only saw him once. But I come back again, I'll recognize him. You see? But then if I come back many times and I recognize him, then it becomes part of my psyche that I will that I'll always remember him. It becomes part of my every part of my soul. And that I don't need, like there's certain things that you see around that you don't think about, you just know it's there. You just know it. It is there. You see? It becomes second nature. You see? That is the third level. And this is recognition and knowing the king more than the first level. Therefore, he who receives where soul receives, kibbutz means becomes part of him, the knowledge of God, and his fear is without need to prepare his heart and to set up his thoughts, to bring his mind to... In other words, you have to force yourself to get an image of God. He doesn't have to do that, but he really knows God. He doesn't have to bring it up anymore, work through it anymore. And in that way, a man will reach to this level. Okay? I think the Rabbeinu Yonah says in that last metaphor is what we're getting at. Okay? The first three studies, especially the third level of study, which is knowing how God works, okay? That is like seeing the king for the first time. Okay? You study it, you didn't know who the king was. You cannot know the king without study. People have certain feelings about God, about religion. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a real knowledge through the study of Torah, an in-depth study of Torah, of these ideas. And then you find out who God is. Okay? But he's not part of you. Then you review it many times until in your conscious mind you bring it up. In other words, it reaches a level where you don't remember these ideas, but however you could bring it up to your conscious mind and it affected you enough to influence you. It influences you. But you have to constantly remind yourself and think about it, because when you stop thinking about it, it's like goes away. The idea is, it's not that it's not there because it's influencing you, but you cannot. It's not part of the who God is, the knowledge of who God is and how it relates to us, all the knowledge that we set in stage three or level three. All that knowledge is, you know it. And it's very clear to you, and you constantly remind yourself of it. And when you think about it, it becomes clearer and clearer, and it even influences you. But the knowledge itself is not second nature. You see? The fifth level is where the knowledge of God, and certain ideas of God, are so real to you, and it's so much a part of your very nature that you don't even have to think about it. It's constantly there. It's like you don't have to think about what your parents look like. You know what I mean? I mean, it goes, well, okay, you know what you... I mean, it doesn't need a conscious effort to tell you what your parents look like. You don't need a conscious effort. You know. The same thing is, you don't need a conscious effort to know these ideas. It becomes second nature. That only comes by review of the ideas. Now, the difference between memory and review is, memory is you go over the ideas, but the mind is not working. Review is means that the mind is working, that you think it through step by step as if it's the first time you're thinking about it. Okay, so it must be, but that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah compares it to seeing. Seeing means the mind knows and understands. You see? That's what it means. So therefore, when you go over and over, it's not memorizing the ideas, but it's reviewing the ideas. Reviewing the ideas means that the mind is working. That is the fifth level, and that is what is truly called the highest level of Yira, of fear of God, and that is called knowing God. That's in other words, you might say know God before, but the ultimate knowing of God, by knowing of God in this pasuk, what it means is the fifth level of knowledge, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. The fourth level, again, clarity. The fourth level is I could every time I think about, I could bring to the conscious mind, think through the ideas, and I immediately know that that is God. I know who God is, but it's not totally part of me. I have to bring it to the conscious mind, but it is enough. But that is enough knowledge for it to influence me. It influences me, especially when I think about it. It will definitely influence my emotions. That is the fourth level. The third level is like the first time I'm studying it, so therefore I'm first finding out who God is. It's the first time I'm seeing who God is. I don't know who God is. That's the third level. The fourth level, I know God and I could bring it to my conscious mind and it affects me. When I bring it to my conscious mind, I will feel certain emotions and certain feelings of fear, of shame, that I'm in the presence of God, you see? But when I stop studying, so then it goes away. The fifth level is just my nature. I know it like I know, like you know your parents' face. You don't need to remember your parents' face. It's just, you know it, you know, without thinking about it. So even without thinking about it, the knowledge of God is constantly affecting your emotions. That is what means that you're always in the Shvichi Hashem Lenegi Tamit, that you're always in the presence of God. You're always there. God is always in front of you. Why? Because it's your second nature. Part of your nature, very part of your whole psyche and your whole nature is the part of. That's the fifth level. Okay, we're in Perek Bey's Pasuk Bey. Perek Gimel, I'm sorry. We're in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Bey. Okay. It says that, the first Pasuk says, Pasuk Aleph says, that you should not forget the Torah and the mitzvot you should engrave in your heart. Means that it should become second nature, that this becomes the framework in the way you think. Okay, good. Now, Pasuk Bey says that it's the length of days, and it's the years of life. So Rabbeinu Yonah quotes Chazal, that says, what does it mean, Shinot Chayim? So Yuma says, if there's years of life, there must be years of no life. Must be the opposite also, right? This will bring about years of life, so it must be a time where there's years of no life. What's years of no life? It says that if a person is poor, this is, and these years where the person turns around from bad to good, where he becomes from poor, he becomes wealthy. Question is, yeah, okay, so I become wealthy. So what does that have to do with Mishlei? What is he talking about? What does this have to do with Mishlei? What he means is that there's certain people that by nature are entrepreneurs, and that's very few, it's not everybody though. But however, they could fail because they have certain emotions that could make them fail, so therefore the quantity even gets less. Okay? But however, there are people that might be by nature not entrepreneurs, and they have bad qualities that can harm them too, but through the study of Mishlei, they could change this around, that they could change their life around and become entrepreneurs. But whatever qualities you need, like for instance, one of the qualities that you need to know, you have to have independence. Like you could go out on your own. Certain people feel insecure. and therefore they get a job. But an entrepreneur is not afraid. Well, he has to take certain chances, certain gambles he has to take that he could lose. He has to take a chance on losing. So therefore, he could lose it. He has to have a certain amount of guts. These things, these components, these qualities can be learned through the study of Mishlei. So therefore, it fits in very well here. He says you'll have a Shinot Chaim, because through the study in where these things after Pasuk Aleph where it becomes second nature, and you learn to think in a certain way, so then these ideas become second nature, and you can change your life around to from poverty to wealth. And the question is, what does this have to do with Avodas Hashem? What this has to do with Avodas Hashem, we'll see in the next part of Rabbeinu Yonah. Good question. Pasuk Gimel starts with Chesed and Emes. Okay, now Rabbeinu Yonah says that that Chesed and Emes is necessary for Avodas Hashem, for the service of God. Okay? Now he defines what Chesed is. Chesed includes many levels, and Emes includes many levels of the mind. Okay? Okay, in other words, it's the variation of degree to many different areas of chesed and different variations, different aspects of the mind. Now, he defines what chesed is. Chesed is that you put all your desire and striving to do kindness to people and to make them successful with their money, and you toil or effort even with the body, like you put in effort to help a person get his desires. I go out to help you get your desires, and that they should have peace of mind, and I should always try to search ways for them to be at peace and for their benefit and to desire all good things for them. Certainly, I'll be careful, very careful, of harming them with deed or words. In any way, I would definitely not harm them. And this trait will remove the trait of viciousness, the trait of cheat, trait of anger, jealousy, and haughtiness. Which means all these traits, what they have in common, is that to dominate or control people not according to their desire and according to their will. Okay? We'll get back to this. And the subject of truth, he says, that you should not say bad is good or good is bad, and you should not flatter people, okay? But you should be zealous for the truth, and you should love the honor of the righteous, and the failure, or what makes low, breaks the wicked and sinners. And this subject is not in the same category as chesed. So since it's not in the same category as chesed, we have to define precisely the difference between chesed and emes. Once again, chesed is the positive trait of doing for another person any kind of kindness that fulfills the other person's desires and wants. Of course, as long as it's not harmful to him, I'm not going to help him harm himself. You understand? But if it's to his benefit, if I can help the guy in any way, I'm happy to help the guy, and I'm happy when the guy is successful. Okay? I'm happy for the other person. The other way, the opposite, is where my relationship to the other person is a negative one. In other words, my haughtiness puts the guy down. My haughtiness, I have to be better than him. I can't tolerate where the guy does against my will. Okay, and I have to rule over him, or not, I'll hate him. Or I'm jealous if he has anything, and I'm too cheap to give out money or to help another person. All these traits are negative traits in my relationship to others, okay? Where I only think of my own self and And anything that the other person has is just, I can't tolerate. The other thing, the opposite, is chesed, where my nature is that I'm happy for you when you have something, and if you don't have something and I could help you get it, I'll go out of my way, even if it takes me physical work or anything, mm-hmm. I'll go out of my way to help you. That is chesed. Mm-hmm. Okay? The question that we asking is like this. Let's say I could remove my negative traits. I see the foolishness of these traits, and I see the consequences and harm of them, and I see how unhappy I am with them, so I undo them. I remove them. Is it a natural thing? Is it a natural thing by undoing the negative traits that I will automatically want to help somebody and have the trait of chesed? Is that an automatic thing? Or, no, must I train myself to have chesed? Even if I undo the negative, is it a natural thing that I have chesed? Or do I have to do a positive act to get the quality of chesed? You have to be careful here. There are certain people that are kind as a result of their personality. But you'll know they're kind to those people that they identify with, and they're not nice to those people that they don't identify with. The chesed that we're talking about is a result of a certain level of knowledge and understanding. Okay? So it's a result of learning. And it changes your personality. It's not something that's based on your personality, your psychological personality, but it's something that is trained through chachma, wisdom. Now we want to know that trait that comes through thought, is it simply, it's enough that I remove the negative traits, then I have this type of chesed, this kindness, not the psychological one, but a intellect, it's an emotion, but the emotion is a result of chesed, right, of my trait. Sort of act to bring about the trait of chesed. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Pasuk Bey says, says Musa is to remove the bad traits, and then in the middle he says, V'achakach yargal nafsho lalos v'malos midas atzadik. And he says, know that you cannot escape from the wicked and go to the midas atzadik, because it is the end that just by going away from the bad traits, that doesn't give you the right traits, but the right traits come through training and going over the thing many times. It's an act of training yourself for the correct way. So therefore, we want to say that just by removing all these bad traits, that does not give you chesed. But chesed is a positive thing. It is true that you can't have negative qualities to have chesed. That's impossible. You have to first remove the negative qualities. But if you remove the negative quality, that doesn't mean you automatically have the positive quality. But there is a training to get the positive positive traits. But however, as we say that chesed and emes is that the I mean the chesed the that you need that that if you remove bad traits in chesed you don't and if you remove bad traits doesn't automatically make you a Baal Chesed. So then, therefore, you need different motives. You need a motive to undo the bad traits, and you need a motive to get the trait of chesed. Question is, what are the motives? Let's start with undoing the bad traits. What is the motive for undoing bad traits? There are two reasons to undo the bad traits. One is it leads to consequences, and two, inherently, that life is not a happy life. You'll be unhappy in the lifestyle itself. The lifestyle itself doesn't allow for happiness, and that's a large part of the Book of Mishlei, the details you find throughout the Book of Mishlei. Right, now the question is, what would motivate you to do chesed? And especially, what would motivate you to be the extreme? The Rabbeinu Yonah says how much you have to go out of your way to do for others. What could motivate you for that for that degree of chesed? The answer is that it's part of avoda. That's what he said. He said this is all part of avoda. So whatever is going to motivate you to avoda, to serve God, is going to motivate you to this level of chesed. And the reason why you do this level of chesed is because you're motivated by God to do it. That's God's will that you should do it. See, the negative could be a personal thing, like I see a harmful thing. But in this extreme of chesed, the only benefit is because it's God's will. Okay? Especially the third step of his development of knowledge of God says you're obligated to imitate God. You've got to know God's ways, how God relates to us, and we're obligated to imitate him. So therefore, it's like it says that... because God is a racham, you should be a racham. You understand? So the same thing is that because it's the will of God, therefore you should be this level of kind. In the beginning of Pasuk Ches, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, right at the Pasuk Gimel, I'm sorry. Right at the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, he says, now I will begin to speak about the ways of Avodas Hashem. And the first thing is you have to have these two traits of kindness and truth. When he says v'inyan ha'emes at the end of that, it says v'inyan hazeh eino b'chlal midas ha'chesed, that the subject of truth is not in the category of the trait of in other words, the trait of truth has nothing to do with the trait of kindness. So the question is, what is the difference between kindness and truth? Kindness deals with my relationship to people. There are two ways of dealing with people. The first way of dealing with people is my whole value system is a negative value system in relationship to people. Like he shows, I evaluate myself in terms of people. Okay? Then there's another way of relating to people, of doing everything I can so that they could be satisfied, to help them be satisfied their ways. That's in my relationship to people. It has to do totally with my changing my psychological makeup in relationship to people. That is kindness. It's a psychological thing, and I have a certain... every person that's born has a certain psychological relationship to people, and we're obligated to change that psychological to a rational based on my relationship to God. That is kindness. Well, truth is simply a relationship to true and false. Is it true or false? Okay? And when we go through the different traits, the different components of the trait of kindness and different components of the trait of truth, we're going to have to make sure that they don't overlap, because Rabbeinu Yonah goes out of his way to make sure you see that that they are different, so you have to make sure that they don't overlap. Hey, the question is he says, "V'lo yachnas labrios," you shouldn't flatter people. Now, the question is flattery. First of all, let's say it's true. Now, flattery is wrong because my motive is to win over the person. Okay? The motive is wrong with flattery. Okay? Now, if that's true, that has to do with my relationship to people, not truth. I could be saying the truth, but my motive is to win over people. So it should fit under my relationship to people, not truth. It has to fit under truth. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes deals with Chanifa, and in it the Rabbeinu Yonah defines Chanifa. He says, Ki yishapcheu befonav b'mala shelo timtzebo, that he praises him on a level that is not found in him. So flattery is never the truth, but flattery is a lie. In other words, the problem with flattery is not your motive, but flattery, according to Mishlei, is that it is not the truth. And you just say nice things about the person that has no basis in truth or reality. Therefore, it is false. The next one is that you should be very happy when the tzaddik is honored and recognized for greatness, and the wicked are put down. Okay, people that sin, they fail, or they have consequences, and they're looked down in society. Okay? Now the question is, what does this have to do with truth? This has to do with people. Okay? So since it has to do with people, it should be then the chesed. What is it doing on the remnant? By love, it means he's extremely happy when the righteous are honored, and he's also happy when the wicked are put low, are put down, or they fail. Whatever it is, he's happy about that. Now the question is, that's dealing with people. It's dealing with people, so the question is, it should be under the trait of my relationship to people. What does it have to do with truth? We have two possible answers. The first possible answer, he's happy because when the tzaddik is successful and the rasha is failing, so it shows that the God system is working perfectly. So that is, when he sees the system working perfectly, that has to do with truth. So it's part of the system. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he identifies with the person not as a person, but as a person of truth. The tzaddik, he's happy because he identifies with the truth, and the wicked is because of the wicked's falseness, so he's happy that people don't accept the falseness. In other words, if they accept the wicked, they're accepting the falseness. So they're happy that they don't accept this type of person because he can't identify with false. It has nothing to do with my relationship to people, but the people represent the idea of truth and falsehood. The thing is, he says, in the next part, he says, included in the truth is that you should judge between people, and when you judge, you should not accept, and you should not look favorably on a person that is honorable or somebody you like. You should not look favorably towards them. Okay? Now, this emotion that you're attached to a person will cause you to look at the situation incorrectly. And since the emotion is affecting the way you make a decision, so therefore it has to do with truth and falsehood and not relationship to people. We quote the sages by saying there are four groups that are received by God. One is that are not received by God. I'm sorry, they're not received by God. One is chanafim. Chanafim is flattery, like we said above, that flattery is a lie. Then liars, so that definitely fits under truth and falsehood. And latham. Latham are people that are cynical about life. Question is, cynical about life, why is that under true and false? Because cynical means that I can't, everything is incorrect. I see everything incorrectly. In other words, like I find questions and arguments against every type of way of life that I look at people the way they live their life, and I say, oh, that's stupid and that's stupid. So when you start looking at life that way, so then you're not looking in a truthful way, in an honest way. It's a desire not to see anything good in life, so it doesn't allow you to see the truth. So in that way, it is under true and false. Now the question is, Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara really seems to be a relationship of people. When you gossip about people, how does that have to do with true and false? We'll discuss that in the next paragraph. Okay. Next paragraph, he says again, the B'chol Inyan Emes, including in truth, that if you argue with a friend and he wins the argument. He shows you that you're wrong in an argument. He says, when you see that you lost, you should admit immediately, you should admit on the truth, okay, that you're wrong, okay? That's a yoda or love. You should admit about it that you're wrong. Okay, so that's a question of truth, that you have the ability that as soon as you see the argument, you're able to admit that you're wrong. But if you can't admit that you're wrong, even if it's not to the other person, even if it's personally, it's just your own mind, you could see it. You understand? You should be able to see the truth immediately. Something slows you down from seeing the truth. It shows that you have a little problem, that you have to deal with it, that you have a problem. But the level that you should be, a person should reach, which is part of the trait of truth, is that as soon as you see it, if you thought it out, it should be thought out, I mean, and it's clear to you, then at that point it becomes clear and real and you accept it immediately. That's the level that you must attain to have the trait of truth. At this point, he says, when you're dealing with witnesses, you should investigate the witnesses. That's obvious that it has to do with truth. Okay? And if you see that the did is too big for you, either pull out or postpone the judgment until you're absolutely true. Okay? Then, now we come to the problem that we had before about Lashon Hara. He says that you should not accept Lashon Hara, and you shouldn't believe everything you hear, because maybe you'll accept as truth something that is false, but you should keep every information that you get in doubt until it's totally investigated. Okay? You should never, in other words, you should never accept any statement without investigation to know that it is true. If there's any doubt or you didn't make a complete investigation, then you should say, I don't know, and I'll have to wait till either I have time to make an investigation, or I can't, if I can't get the information, let's say it's like Lashon Hara and I can't prove if it's true or not, then I should not accept the idea. That's it, I just don't know, I should be in doubt. And therefore, Lashon Hara really falls under both categories, because in a way, Lashon Hara, the motives of Lashon Hara is to put people down, but however, Lashon Hara is usually very vague and is very rarely a proof with the information that is given, and therefore it also falls under the heading of of truthfulness. Insofar as Lashon Hara is concerned, there are two aspects of Lashon Hara that deal with truth. One is that since all Lashon Hara is secondhand knowledge, so I must have knowledge of the person whether he says the truth or not, whether he lies or whether he exaggerates. And if he is the third person that is telling over the Lashon Hara, then I have to know all three people that came prior and whether they could tell the truth. This is based on secondhand knowledge, so my knowledge is totally based on whether I trust them, so I have to investigate the people that said the knowledge. Therefore, with the first question that when anybody tells you Lashon Hara is there, well, where did you hear it from? You see, they're not proof, but where did you hear it from? And if he heard it from A, then where did A, until you get back to the person that actually saw the event, that participated in the event, only when you do that type of investigation, then you can you accept Lashon Hara. Then there is another investigation of the person that saw the event, whether the person has the ability to hear will listen or see correctly, because sometimes people make mistakes. So you have to know the person, what type of a person, his ability to understand what's happening and his ability of observation, you see, whether it's good enough to be able, so then you have to know that information about the person that saw the event. Then the next thing, I'm sorry, there's another point. It's not two, it's more. But it's three. The other thing is that whenever Lashon Hara is usually not interesting unless you add a motive. Okay? Now, motive has to be proven what the motive is. If you analyze the facts and you start analyzing the motive, you can see probably more than one or two motives could fit in. That's where Don Lakoff's foot comes in, that you should try and see the good in another person, that there is a logical possibility that maybe it wasn't as bad as you think. So therefore, when you get into motives, that people just accept it. But however, that is part of truth, part of the trait of truth, and not part of the trait of my relationship to people. These three aspects have to do with truth, and not the trait of truth, and not the trait of my relationship to people.
We're up to V'chein Amalos HaSichlios, the different levels of the mind. In other words, you must train the mind. That is part of truth, the training of the mind, because if you don't train the mind, then one of two things could happen. Either you could have Deos HaMeshubashos, which is confused ideas, or Sfaros HaMeshubashos are harmful ideas. And what's the difference between confused and harmful? Okay, you can have a clear idea, but the idea is wrong from another source. The idea is clear, but you show that it's wrong, that it's incorrect and could be harmful. You see? Then there's confused ideas, like it's not clear, it's logically not sound. Okay? Those are the two types. And you have to avoid that, and the way to avoid that is through training of the mind. Okay? Now, the next thing he says is, okay, he says that you should investigate for the truth, and that you should not be wary of the investigation, you should not get tired, you should not be weary, you should not be fatigued. All these things are that nothing should stop you from the total investigation. You should never be tired of searching for the truth. You could always go one more step and maybe you'll find truth there. You never know when you're going to find the truth. And he says what the motivator, what's going to motivate you to continue is the fear of that you might accept an idea that is false. You have to understand what it means to accept a false idea. In other words, you accept an idea that it's false. You really think it's true. But you could, if you would have pushed the investigation, you would have found that it is a false idea. But however, because you didn't push yourself to continue the investigation, so you came to a false conclusion. Okay? Well, what is the problem with that? Wrong ideas. The problem with the wrong ideas is you can have a wrong idea about God, can have a wrong idea about the 13 animamans, which is the basic foundation of everything and your portion in Olam Haba. You could have a false idea about traits, which means that it's going to affect the way you live and your outlook on life and how you look at life. Ideas, if you're just a person that just looks at ideas that doesn't affect you, then you're really right. It doesn't make a difference if, let's say I get a wrong idea. Let's say I think that Cuba exports tiddlywinks. Okay? So I made a mistake. You understand? But it's not going to affect my life. But however, in the area that we're talking about, any mistake in any type of science where I could abstract a hashkafa, a certain view of life, so it could be a catastrophe, so I have to be very, very careful to make sure I do not accept false ideas. Once I realize the value of ideas, that will be the motivating factor to check and double check and recheck all my conclusions, even years after I accept that something, if the problem comes up again, I shouldn't just look at the problem, well, I answered the question and that's it. Should make another investigation. Investigate again. Think about it again. Doesn't matter. Again and again, you can never tell when you could, an old idea that you thought was correct and you might find a problem with it and you could change it. That is how you develop. You're constantly developing that way also. The question was, it says here, in all sciences, okay? Now, so if we're talking about all sciences, so what's the difference? I mean, even any science we should investigate. What it means is that, see, all sciences is also a means to understanding God, to understand God's world, and how you understand it and what you get out of it and how you see it could affect your view. If you're a person that you just study just for ego, so then it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect you, these things. And it might, even if it's, in other words, there's certain people where wisdom or sciences or ideas or facts do not affect them at all. It doesn't affect you at all. So there, it's true, it's bad if you get a false idea. It's bad. But however, how much more so where a person is where he's looking for truth and for God, and he's looking for about the world. So then if he finds, then if he comes to a wrong conclusion, his whole view of life could change, and that view of life could affect his whole hashkafa and every wrong idea about God, wrong idea about God's world. That idea should be the motivating factor to make sure that every idea you get is correct. Okay, over here he says, he's going to talk about the different levels of chesed and emunah. Question is, where did emunah come in? Where did emunah come in from? You just to jump in with it. Pasuk Zion, he says that all good traits are included in chesed and emes, kindness and truth. And all bad traits are the opposite. Every good trait is chesed and emes, and every bad trait must be contrary to chesed and emes. Then he says the way of emunah is included in truth, and betachon is included in emunah. But anyway, emunah is included in emes. So therefore, that's what he's saying here. He's saying that, but instead of using the word emes here, he's using the word emunah. Okay? So therefore, chesed and emunah comes from, emunah means truth, because the word emunah comes from amen. Amen means emes, truth. Now he says that there is no end to the knowledge, to the tune and understanding for a person that has reached the perfection of this level of chesed and emes. The person that reaches the higher levels of chesed and emes, it opens their mind to clarity. In other words, to depth and understanding of ideas. The question is, as I understand that emes brings to the clarity and tune of ideas, the question is, how does chesed... Where does chesed fit in? He says the when you reach high levels of chesed and emes, so then you will have there's no end to the tvuna, there's no end to your understanding once you reach this. Now I understand the training in emes and thought and training how to think correctly and not becoming weary in your investigation, and even when you have problems, so that doesn't stop you, you continue and work it out. You continue the investigation. That I understand. But the traits of chesed, how does that have to do with helping you with, you know, how I relate to you? Chesed is how I relate to you. How does that help? How does I help you and benefit you? How does that help my tevunah? There are two ways in which it helps you. The first way is that since you have to undo
all incorrect emotions, all the hatred and anger, these or any of the other emotions that a person has, so then these emotions affect your thinking. And without, in other words, like this, let's say, for instance, you're angry at somebody. That moment, the guy is the worst person in the world. When your anger passes, he's not so bad. You could even, the guy could be your best friend. You understand when the anger passes? So you see that it affects the way you think. So that's one way when undoing the bad traits, so it benefits you that way, that it helps you, that it takes away the emotions that's going to affect. Let's say you want to see God in a certain way, and you're studying about God, it's going to make you see the logic incorrectly. So it's going to affect your thinking process. That's one way. The second way is that chesed, in other words, when you're working to help out another person, and I have to, in the way he describes it, in every aspect, how to work it out, so I have to spend time and energy just to work out to help you, to benefit you, you see, that is totally contrary to my selfishness, you see. So when I work on that positive part, also will move me away from my selfishness, and that selfishness is what affects my thinking process, you see? So it goes the opposite direction of selfishness, which causes you to make, which affects your thinking and makes you make errors in your thinking. So therefore, when you start thinking about others and you spend time to try to work it out and to help them, great detail with money or with physically, it's a tremendous amount of energy towards another person. It's moving away from the life of selfishness. The difference between these two answers, the first is removing negative traits. I'm moving away from selfishness. But the doing chesed, the act of chesed, is totally contrary to selfishness. It's an act that is contrary to selfishness, and if there's any selfishness there, it will be awakened and you'll become aware of it, because you're going contrary to your own desires. You're going totally for the desire of the other person, and the only reason why you're doing it is because of the will of God. So therefore, it's totally contrary to your own... sometimes you're nice to a person because you identify he's an extension of you. So that's a selfish act already. Even though the act is not selfish, but the motive is still selfish. But over here, you're doing it because no reason except your attachment to God. So therefore, it's totally away from your selfishness. Now he says, therefore he started with this. Before he comes to speak about service of God, so he speaks about chesed and emes, so that your service should be acceptable when you grasp on and when you become the person that the chesed and emes. Because the service of the wicked are not acceptable. Now, how do we define wicked? Anybody that is not working on chesed and emes and is involved in the opposite, all the opposite type of... They don't train their mind, and they're not working on their kindness, and they're not working on doing bad traits. So they're involved in all the... They are considered evil people, Rishayim. And he said before, there's an abomination to God. And here he says that your Rosh Chodesh, your new moon, in other words, when we celebrate Rosh Chodesh, and your holidays, which means Shabbos and holidays, is hateful to me, God says. Sino nafshi. It's hateful to me. In other words, God hates the idea of the person that keeps halacha and does not work on and does not deal with the ideas of chesed and emes. The first question is simply, why is that so? Let's say a guy keeps all the halacha, he keeps this, and he doesn't work on chesed and emes. I mean, he says this is hateful to God, okay? And two, what does it mean hateful? God doesn't have hatred. So the question is, what is hatred to God?
in other words, just because the first question is, just because I'm not keeping chesed and emes, I'm not working on it, so why can't I keep halacha? I mean, why can't halacha be acceptable to God? We would like to read from Yeshayahu, from Pasuk Yud. Okay? It says, hear the word of the Lord, O rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, O people of Gomorrah. Of what he's talking about to Israel. He's talking to Israel. Of what use are your many sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I am sated with the burnt offering of rams and the fat of fattened cattle, and the blood of bulls and sheep and he-goats I do not want. In other words, God is saying, I do not want sacrifices. I mean, definitely God wants sacrifice because it says in the Torah. And then he says, when you come to appear before me, who requested this of you to trample my courts? In other words, when you come to Yerushalayim, you're just wearing out my floors. You know what I mean? Like they're coming to Pesheles Ragon, they're coming to the three holidays to bring serve God. He says, this is a waste. So it's like wearing out my rugs. What are you wearing out my rugs for? In other words, don't bother coming. You shall no longer bring vain meal offerings. It is smoke of abomination to me. The smoke of abomination. All the services. New moons and Sabbaths called convocations. There cannot be iniquity in with assembly. Okay? So iniquity with assembly. Okay? We have to define iniquity. Okay? One sec. Your new moons and your appointed seasons, my soul hates. That's the pasuk that he quoted. They are burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you spread out your hands in prayer, so it means prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even when you pray at length, I do not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now listen what he says in 16 and 17. Wash, cleanse yourself, remove evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil. And 17, learn to do good, seek justice, okay, seek justice, that's part of chesed, strengthen the robbed, perform justice for the orphan, plead the case of the widow. All that is chesed, you see. So you see that what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that without chesed and MS, all the rest is you have no foundation. And he quotes another pasuk. He says, "Plow for yourself a furrow." And in Yirmiyahu, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, and I will start from the beginning of chapter 4. He says, God says, if you return, O Israel, if you return to me and remove your abominations from before me, and you do not waver, if you swear as God lives in truth, justice and righteousness, nations will bless themselves by you and praise themselves through you. For God says to the population of Judah and to Jerusalem, plow a furrow for yourselves and don't sow among the thorns. Open your hearts to God and remove the hardness of your hearts, O men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my anger flare like burning fire with no one to put it out because of your evil deeds. And so therefore, he's saying that you, if you sow a furrow for yourself means you should have the basic foundation. The basic foundation is chesed and emes. He says, but if you just keep halacha without the chesed and emes, says that would be equal to sow among the thorns. So the question is, how does chesed and emes? Why do you have nothing? I mean, he hates it. He's an abomination. I mean, it's the worst thing that can happen. It's I don't know if it's equal to nothing or worse than nothing. You understand? It's equal to nothing or worse than nothing. That's what he's saying. Okay. So the question is that why is that? Why is chesed and emes the foundation of all service to God and all halacha? You should know that there are two things. There is your ultimate goal, and there is when you're on a certain level. When a person starts out, keeps mitzvot, even though he doesn't understand the reason for the mitzvot. And he doesn't see the value for the mitzvot. He keeps because he was raised that way, or he just first started studying. He knows that God wants you to keep mitzvot. He first started studying. So then mitzvot is a good thing. It's part of your development. You must keep mitzvot. You're obeying God, and it's part of your development. We're talking about a person that stops at this point, that quits, and says, all I have to do is keep mitzvot. And he doesn't continue the investigation of Hashkafa and what God wants from you, and the basic foundation of Torah, and the framework in which you should keep halacha. Certain framework you have to keep halacha. So you have to understand that doesn't mean you should give up keeping halacha if you don't have chesed and emes. It means that you should keep halacha and you should work on halacha, because halacha will also help develop chesed and emes. I mean, if you learn nezikin about civil law, you're learning about justice and you're learning about dealing with other people and how to relate to other people. Even in halacha, you're learning that. As long as you're involved in the world of learning and development. But he's talking about a person that is not going in this direction and he's just keeping halacha, and he holds the basis as just halacha without the chesed and emes. That's an abomination to God. We're going over the whole thing, okay? Basically, with a summarize. Basically, to develop anything in Torah, you must have a personality of chesed and emes. Chesed and emes includes two things. Chesed includes two things. Chesed is the removal of all negative traits, okay? All negative traits are, practically all of them, are in relationship to people. Hatred, competition, jealousy, all these things are in relationship to people, and you must remove them. And we said there's two ways of removing them. One is to see a contradiction in the lifestyle, or to see the consequences, or to see that there is no happiness there. Those are the three ways. A contradiction, consequences, and unhappiness. But however, chesed is the positive where you must, and he's going to clarify and go into great detail the idea of chesed, how far you should go with chesed, but it's to go out of your way and to spend time and energy and money to benefit other people and to find out what will undo their unhappiness and what they need for happiness and for success, and you should go out of your way to do that. So you need a positive thing to do that. Alright? Second thing is emes means that you must see the truth by training your mind, and you must have a trait of searching for truth and not to accept anything unless it's 100% understood. And that one of the examples is it excludes all of Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara, you hear a thing and you have no proof if it's true or not, and yet you accept it. You make decisions based on Lashon Hara, which is not the trait of truth. And of course, the training of the mind. Okay? Now then he says that if you keep Torah, and he brings the psukim and says like this, God says that he hates, and we read yesterday the whole area in Yeshayahu, around 4 or 5 psukim, we read about how God is distasteful to God, it's an abomination and hateful to God if you keep mitzvot and you don't have the trait of chesed and emes. God says, why are you wearing out the streets of Yerushalayim? What are you wearing out my streets for by coming in the 3 regalim? You know what I mean? He says to people, they're coming to do a mitzvah. God says, why are you wearing it out? And he says, because they don't, the pasuk, if you look at the pasuk, it says because they don't have chesed and emes. Okay? So the question is, I understand if you keep mitzvahs, not to a high level, but it's abomination if you don't have chesed and emes. So the question is why is that why is it an abomination and it's hateful to God? We also said, and it's very important, that a person, even though they don't have chesed and emes, they should still keep mitzvot, but they should start working on chesed and emes and develop their chesed and emes. But the mitzvot itself, keeping the, especially the learning of the mitzvot, the learning of the ideas, will help you keep chesed and emes. Like, for instance, especially the nezikin, the area of nezikin, civil law and justice. So the thing is, that will help you in your relationship to others, and it will also help you in the training of the mind, because there's a lot of thinking there. So therefore, and also definitely Pirkei Avos, I mean, if you study in depth, all those things will help you to chesed and emes. So we're talking about a person that's not going in that direction. He just keeps the mitzvos, and he doesn't get involved in learning, and he doesn't get involved in the areas of chesed and emes. He just says, he keeps the mitzvos, and he holds that's the essence. That is an abomination to God. I want to say that that they should do it with feeling, and chesed and emes brings out feeling. Now, you have to be careful with the word feeling, because there's some people without knowledge also have feeling. They have a religious emotion, that they have a strong feeling towards Torah. The Rabbeinu Yonah says this is a certain type of knowledge. He calls it Don. And if you read through the Rabbeinu Yonah, you see that it's based on knowledge. Okay? And if you have feelings, it must be a result of knowledge. So we want to understand why you need this knowledge and a change in personality, that you have a personality called chesed and emes. Not acts of chesed and emes. Because halacha, you do acts of chesed and emes, which will help you. But without the knowledge, it's not going to be good. The question is why? The people that keep mitzvot that are not halacha. In other words, there is a certain type of people that keep mitzvahs that are totally halal. What it means by halal is they keep it because they were raised that way, they feel guilty if they don't keep it. That I call as a halal type of... But there are people that keep it with fervor, but the fervor doesn't come from the knowledge or from the personality of chesed and emes. Now that's not that type of fervor, and that type of relationship is not what Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. Chesed and emes is not an act, it's a personality. And chesed and emes is they're two different things. One doesn't overlap the other. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says, okay? Now the personality of chesed is a personality where I desire to help another person and to do everything I can to make sure that person will be satisfied in whatever way he needs help. I'm willing to help another person. That's my desiring. I desire to help him. Just the opposite of the psychological person that's in competition or jealous of the that's chesed. MS is a personality where I can't tolerate Lashon Hara, because there's a chesed part of Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, you're putting down people and you're talking against people, the result of jealousy, competition, self-aggrandizement. That's all part of chesed. But there's a truth part of Lashon Hara. Like, for instance, you don't know the truth of the statement. That might be true, might not be true, so say, I don't know. I simply don't know. But most people don't say that. They don't look at it in an honest way. You understand? They hear certain ideas that fit in with their emotions, so they don't really investigate. If you don't really investigate, that's a lack of the trait of truth. The trait of truth is a search that you can't tolerate unless you're 100% certain and you know what truth is, based on your training of questioning, argumentation, and you have a desire to go to the ultimate. You can't stop until you're certain. Or if you can't be certain, then at least you know that you know that exactly what you have and know what you know, so that you know the truth.
Like, for instance, part of truth would be, let's say somebody would give a possibility that you don't hold firm. You should be able to understand that possibility, that you could give it over and understand it. But you don't accept it because of certain questions or certain ideas, whatever reason, you don't accept it. But you don't accept it based on that I don't listen to you. I don't accept it.